Welcome to Fronteras, a Changing America. I'm your host, Vanessa Dabovich. The words Hispanic and Latino are used to describe people of Spanish-speaking origin, but a survey released this week shows many people who fit that description don't like to use either term. From the Fronteras desk, Nadine Arroyo Rodriguez reports.
Mexican, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Cuban. This is how people of Latin American descent describe themselves. A study by the Pew Hispanic Center shows they want to be known by their country of origin. More than 50% of those surveyed do not embrace the terms Latino and Hispanic. The center's Mark Hugo Lopez says the survey also shows that most Americans from Spanish-speaking countries who were surveyed agreed on one thing. The one major link between them is the Spanish language.
Hispanics actually see the Latino community in the United States as a diverse community. When you ask Hispanics, is there a shared culture among U.S. Hispanics? Nearly 70% of Hispanics say U.S. Hispanics have many different cultures.
27-year-old Rene Herrera agrees with the study. He's a first-generation American who lives in Phoenix. His parents are from Mexico. Herrera says the study reflects how many Latinos feel.
The non-Latino American, by nature of the culture here in America, we try to label and categorize everything. And I don't think that that is really fair to the Latino culture.
Lopez says the study provides a glimpse into Latino identity, information that can be useful for political strategists in upcoming elections. In Phoenix, I'm Nadine Arroyo Rodriguez.
In the last decade, the Latino population of Escondido, a city in northern San Diego County, has exploded. But those changes aren't yet reflected at City Hall. From San Diego, Adrian Florido reports on a battle brewing as Latinos push for more political representation in a city known for tough immigration stances.
Take a walk through Escondido's Mission Park neighborhood and you'll get a feel for life in the heart of this city's Latino community. Families grill carne asada in front yards. Children line up to buy popsicles and hot sauce-drenched potato chips from an ice cream truck. Last year, data from the 2010 census confirmed what many in this city already suspected. Latinos have grown to be half of its population, making them the city's single largest ethnic group. But visit Escondido's gleaming City Hall not far away, and you might not know it.
One Latino elected in 123 years.
Demetrio Gomez is a Mexican-American, a construction worker, and a union organizer. And he's right, almost. In the city's 123-year history, only two Latinos have been elected to the city council, and only one actually acknowledged she was Latina.
We are 49% of the town, and yet we're not being taken into consideration.
So in December, Gomez joined several other Latinos and sued the city under the California Voting Rights Act in the hopes of giving Latinos a better shot at getting elected.
This is just one of the ways that we can get politically involved from the top down. A minority of the town is running the city to their benefit.
Before understanding how the lawsuit could help Latinos, it helps to understand some of Escondido's recent history. This is City Councilwoman Marie Waldron at a 2006 council meeting.
Our nation is under siege. Our own federal government has abandoned its constitutional duty, resulting in treason, and our local communities are directly paying the price. This is about illegal versus legal.
In the last decade, Escondido has cracked down on undocumented immigrants. Since 2004, the police department has put up sobriety and driver's license checkpoints and turned undocumented immigrants caught up in them over to immigration authorities. In 2006, the mostly white conservative city council temporarily passed a law that made it illegal for landlords to rent to undocumented immigrants. Here's Waldron again.
And sadly, it is our very children who have to attend overcrowded schools and be threatened with exposure to the countless diseases, including drug-resistant TB.
Those policies and comments have left many Latinos, even citizens, feeling attacked by City Hall and outmatched by it. And that's where the recent lawsuit comes in. It asks a judge to toss out the current system for electing city council members. It's called an at-large system, and it requires all of the city's voters to choose from the same candidates. But if the lawsuit prevails, the city would be split into districts. Each one would have its own candidate, and voters could only vote in their district. Lori Schellenberger is an attorney at the American Civil Liberties Union. Though she's not involved in the Escondido case, she has been watching it. She says that in an at-large voting system, it can be nearly impossible for minorities to elect candidates of their choice, because though they may have population numbers, as voters, they're often outnumbered.
This is what we call racially polarized voting.
She says it happens all the time, but district elections change that.
When you map into districts, then you have a more concentrated group, and then they have a chance to have a greater influence on an election if they don't meet the majority.
That was the idea behind the 2001 California Voting Rights Act. Like the federal Voting Rights Act, it guarantees political representation to minority groups. But the California law is even more powerful. In fact, rather than face expensive lawsuits from activists, many city councils and school boards have just agreed to switch to district elections. But here in Escondido, Mayor Sam Abed has vowed to fight.
This will be the worst option for every citizen in Escondido, including the Hispanics.
Abed says Latinos could elect more candidates if only they'd vote.
I think personally this is very polarizing, very divisive in a smaller community like this. I think this is going to isolate the Latino community geographically, politically, economically, and socially.
But Demetrio Gomez disagrees. He believes the current system so stacks the odds against Latinos that it discourages them from voting.
How are we going to get these people involved? They have no hope.
The lawsuit is not expected to be resolved before this year's elections. But if it succeeds, Gomez thinks Latinos could compete for two seats come next election. In San Diego, I'm Adrian Florido.
Latinitas is a nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering young Latinas through media and technology. Latinitas magazine is the first digital magazine made for and by Latina youth. Since 2002, they have offered media enrichment programs aimed at empowering girls to express themselves and gain confidence to succeed. Executive Director Alicia Rascon joins us now in the studio. So what is the mission of Latinitas?
Latinitas is a nonprofit organization focused on empowering young Latinas to build confidence and succeed using media, art, culture, and technology.
Okay, and how did this get started? How did you come up with this?
I'm one of the co-founders of Latinitas, and we actually started it as a class project, as a service learning project at the University of Texas at Austin. I was studying journalism at the time, and I was enrolled in a Latinos and Media Studies course with Dr. Federico Supervi. And in that course, we were studying the representation of Latinos in media. So we learned a little bit of some of the underrepresentation of Latinos in media. There's definitely not enough representation in mainstream media, in movies, as well as behind the scenes when you look at the editors and the directors behind media. And we also studied some of the stereotypes in media. So as a class project, he asked us to create a service learning project where we would help the Latino community using media and communications as a tool. So my group got together and we decided that we would launch a digital magazine by and for young Latinas. At the time, there wasn't a single online magazine geared towards Hispanic girls, so we wanted to start the very first one.
So why the target on specifically Latina youth?
We wanted to focus on Latina youth. Part of it was we wanted to focus on Hispanic girls because we felt that this demographic really needed extra mentoring, extra outreach, extra encouragement. We saw that young Latinas were leading the nation in terms of teen pregnancy rates. We saw that young Latinas have the highest attempted suicide rates of their female counterparts when you compare them to African American, Caucasian, Hispanic girls, really are at risk of a lot of these different issues. So we really thought it was important to focus on young Latinas. We thought that the high school dropout rates were too high, the teen pregnancy rates. So we really wanted to show girls that there's other alternatives out there. We want to encourage them and expose them to positive role models.
So speaking of that, what kind of programs do you offer for this demographic?
Well, we're focused on empowering girls to build confidence, and we do that through media and creative expression. So we publish a digital magazine. So our magazine is latinitasmagazine.org, and it's created by and for young Latinas. So we have girls that are writing the essays, writing poems, creating artwork, taking the photos, and all of that is featured on our website. And it serves as a resource guide for girls all across the country. Young women in our programs can express themselves and get their writing published. And we cover all topics from college to advice columns. We talk about entertainment. We profile successful role models. So we have a wide variety of articles that are geared towards young Latinas. And then we also offer a wide variety of programs where girls can learn how to build confidence and express themselves using media and creative expression as a vehicle for that. So we offer after-school programs, summer camps, workshops, conferences. We also have a speakers bureau where we go out and do presentations throughout the Southwest. We Girls in our program learn about photography, they learn about writing, they learn about filmmaking, they learn how to make their own podcasts. So it's all focused on multimedia expression.
And so why the focus on, I know you mentioned the class project in multimedia, but is there any kind of programs you have that expand outside of the media realm, or is it kind of geared towards just that?
But through that, we're able to really engage girls in a dialogue of a wide variety of issues. So, for example, we've done a college-bound program with some of our girls where we do a series of college prep activities using media as a tool. Okay. So, for example, girls will visit the university campus and take pictures, and they will conduct interviews with college students, and they will practice writing their college essay exams, and they're going to do research on why it's important to go to college and the steps to prepare for college, and then write essays about that. So we really felt that media was an engaging way to talk to girls and create a dialogue about some of these issues and challenges that they're going through. We felt that if I went up in front of a group of girls and just talked to them about the problem of teen pregnancy, you know, we felt like if it's just lecture style, that's something that they might get bored with after a little while. Right. But if we bring in teen moms to come and talk to the girls about some of their challenges, and the girls get to interview them, and then they get to create a PSA about why they think it's important to wait till they're a little more mature for parenthood, then they're actually able to create a dialogue and discuss it and think about their own values and interpret it through media instead of it just being us adults coming in and lecturing them.
So how do these young women become involved with this organization?
Well, they can definitely visit our website at latinthasmagazine.org. We're always accepting submissions, and we publish the work of girls from all across the country, and we definitely have readers from various parts of the country as well. So girls engage us through the magazine. They can always send us their artwork and poetry to get published. And then they can enroll in our programs. We have after-school programs that are mainly based out of Austin and El Paso, Texas, but we're starting to grow throughout the Southwest. We've actually done workshops in the Las Cruces area, where we have a speakers bureau that comes out and does workshops in various schools in this area as well. So we invite parents and schools and nonprofits to invite us in to partner together to host events in this area as well.
So do you have an idea of maybe the number of young people you serve?
We reach about 20,000 girls each month through our website. And then we see we serve about 2,000 girls through our direct programs, where they actually attend our after-school programs and attend our workshops. And those are the girls where we're able to do one-on-one mentoring with them and show them how they can build confidence through media.
Why do you think the rates of teen pregnancy and high school dropout and things like that are so high among the Latina population?
I talk to girls a lot about some of the challenges that they face, and I'm often – one of the things that girls say is the biggest challenge of being a young Latina today is the stereotypes. They feel that there's a lack of expectations. They feel that, you know, the greater society in general just expects them to be teen moms, to drop out of school, and they don't really expect them to succeed. So I feel that there's not enough of a support system for these girls and not enough encouragement. There's a lot of lack of expectations, a lot of messages from mainstream media that these girls aren't expected to do better. So I think then they start falling into some of those stereotypes, and when they don't feel like there's higher expectations for them, they don't strive for that. I think it's all a matter of encouraging these girls to still believe in the American dream. I meet so many girls that I was talking to a middle school girl recently, and we were asking her, okay, what are your future dreams? What do you want to be when you grow up? And she started talking to us about how, you know, by the time she's 20, she thinks she's going to have her third kid.
Oh, goodness.
She's going to... you know, she's going to be on welfare and she's going to be divorced. And that's because that was a cycle that she's seen in her family and she hasn't met positive role models. But we're really focused on bringing in professionals, bringing in college students to talk to these girls and let them know that there's other options for them. So I think once girls realize that they can have that hope, I think it's all a matter of them realizing that they can reach their fullest potential and having those role models, having that encouragement, and really encouraging them to dream big. I think a lot of girls that I meet have already started giving up, and they start thinking that, you know, those aren't possibilities for them. So we want to really encourage them to let them know that, you know, there's a lot of women that have come from very similar backgrounds and are achieving great things, and that they're as capable of it as well.
So being that your region of this program is in El Paso, do you have anything that works with the border or immigration or things like that?
We definitely have a lot of programs that focus on encouraging girls that are growing up in a bilingual, bicultural world. Definitely with a lot of girls coming over from Juarez, we've seen a lot of migration this way. So one thing that we do to connect with those girls is offer programs that are in English and in Spanish. I think sometimes girls may know English pretty well, but they don't necessarily feel as comfortable in it or they don't feel at home when they're speaking English. So we try to provide programs that are bilingual to reach that audience. And we really try to celebrate their culture. You know, we encourage them to think about some of their traditions and write about those traditions or research why those traditions exist and to keep those traditions alive. So, you know, we'll have girls writing stories about Dia de los Muertos, or they'll write a story about quinceañeras and like why it's important to them to still celebrate that. So we really encourage continuing those traditions and celebrating that.
So do you have any upcoming events or projects?
One program that we have coming up that's going to be a bigger celebration for us is a Girl Power Fest. It's going to be taking place on April the 28th at UTEP from 10 to 3. And it's going to be a full day of female empowerment. We're going to have some motivational speakers come out and talk to the girls, some local community leaders, inspiring them, teaching them some of the steps that they can take to be leaders. We're going to have a college panel, talk to them about the importance of college and how they can already start getting ready for college. We're also going to be having entertainment, some Zumba workshops. We're going to be having some activities that are all about like boosting their self-esteem. And then the girls are also going to be able to write their own poetry and create some of their own media projects during the event. So that's going to be a big event that we're really getting excited for.
Now, I'm thinking, looking at the other side of this coin, what about Latino men? What about the young men? I mean, is there any plans to reach out to them in the same kind of way?
Not right now. I think we started focusing on girls specifically because we felt that there's still a lot of machismo in our culture where girls aren't told, you know, yes, you should be going out there and going away for college. We felt that a lot of girls were still being very protected by their family and told like that they really shouldn't be outside of the home. So we wanted to break that down a little bit. And we also felt that on a national level, there's still not enough representation of females. If you look in politics, women are still very underrepresented in Congress. We make up half of society, but make up less than 20% of the Congressmen and women that you see. So we felt that women still have a lot of areas where they need to pick up and have equality with men. We also felt that there's not enough women in media. If you look at the film industry, for example, the percentage of women who are directors is such a small percentage. It's like less than 5% of the directors in Hollywood are female. It was just about a year ago that we had our first female like win an award as a director. So we still feel like there's a lot of areas where women need to catch up and to really reach equality. But we definitely support empowerment programs for men and boys. I myself have two boys, so I'm really thinking about young men as well. But we also feel that there's a lot of mentoring that happens in sports as well. You know, girls still aren't as represented in sports and there aren't as many opportunities for them there. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for boys there. We do get calls from parents that are interested in supporting their young sons. And we definitely provide referrals and encourage them to visit other organizations that provide services for boys.
Tell me about the features of this online magazine. You know, what are the different aspects of it?
Well, our magazine is meant to serve as a voice and a forum for girls to express themselves. So we have a wide variety of articles. Girls submit their poems to get published as well as their essays. They also have opportunities to post blogs on our website, to post videos, to post their own pictures as well. And then we like to cover a wide variety of topics that girls are thinking about. So everything from like fashion to entertainment, and we like to do it with a Latino spin, you know, really highlighting who are some of the up-and-coming Latino musicians, Latino artists, Latino actresses. So really highlighting our culture through that. We also focus a lot on role models. We have a role model section where we highlight professional women as well as young women in the community that are already doing amazing things to really give girls that hope and let them know like that they can aspire for that. We also give them tips on how to get into college, how to do well in school, tips on like how to deal with different peer pressure that comes along. And we regularly answer advice columns of questions that some of our readers have.
So the journalist in me has to ask, is there a section for like hard news? You know, do some of these ladies tackle like, you know, issues that are current in our country, in our society?
We do, and we have a blog section, and that's where a lot of times that comes up. We just had a girl kind of blogging about some of the racial issues that she sees in her school, where the Dominicans, the Puerto Ricans are really bullying each other and putting each other down and kind of talking about how some of that, some of those issues come up. So we do try to tackle some of like the harder issues that come up. Talking about racism, someone was blogging recently about some videos that have been posted on YouTube that are really focused on really racist remarks about like different demographics. So we like to tackle some of those hard issues as well.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Another reason why we decided to focus on young Latinas is because of the demographic changes. We're seeing that this is the largest minority in the nation, and it's also the fastest growing population. So we've rapidly seen this population growing, and we feel that it's important to address some of the challenges and issues that our community is facing so that as this population grows, we are prepared to be the leaders of our nation. I think our country needs to be thinking about what young Latinos are doing right now and if they're succeeding, because if they're not, then we're not going to be succeeding in 20 years. So we felt it was very important to focus on this population because it's going to be increasingly a more important segment of our population as the Latino community grows in the country.
So how can people donate to your cause, find out more about your organization? How can they do that?
They can visit us online at latinitasmagazine.org. They can also call us at 915-219-8554 to reach our El Paso headquarters. And we're also very interested in partnering with the Las Cruces area, and we have been branching out into New Mexico. We've been doing workshops in Silver City and some of the surrounding areas. So we do have a speakers bureau that goes out and does special events or hosts workshops throughout the Southwest. And we definitely have a long-term vision of being able to reach more girls throughout the Southwest.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Fronteras.
Thank you so much.
The online magazine can be found at laslatinitas.com. I'm Vanessa Dobovich. Thanks for tuning into Fronteras, A Changing America.